The following is brought to you live.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Well, I think it's...
Tariq Cohen, 5 carries and 66 yards. He had a 46-yard run. 7 catches, 43 yards on 10 targeted throws. He had the big 19-yard catch and run for a touchdown, so 109 yards from scrimmage and 3 punt returns, 45 yards. So that 15 touches for 154 all-purpose yards for Tariq Cohen.
John, considering what Tariq did today, was there a thought maybe to include him in a package right off the bat, first and goal on the 6, as opposed to waiting until 4?
Well, we ran a little bit of problems. We had Benny Cunningham leave, did not return. He was there for emergency. Jordan was banged around a little bit, so... that was a little bit of an issue today as far as the substitutions.
You know, I'm a football doctor, and my diagnosis of Coach John Fox is simply this. He has football Ebola. He's killing his team with his decision-making as well as his decisions about personnel.
This is Bears Hour Live. I am Aldo Gandia, the man responsible for 7 minutes of technical difficulties. The voice you heard before me is my partner and the star of this enterprise, Draft Dr. Phil Latoshin. Phil, you're the veteran of BHL. This is my first show. That's why we've got all these screw-ups. It has nothing to do with you. But thankfully, you're here to provide your football analysis. Phil, how are you doing?
Aldo, I'm excited. BHL is back Monday night, 10 o'clock in the East Coast, 9 Central. I am fired up to be doing this with my buddy here. We do it for the truth of the Chicago Bears because it seems like, just like the Cutler era, there was a narrative. Now the Trubisky second overall pick and Mike Glennon narrative is happening. And we have decided, Aldo, at BHL and Bears Barroom, that we aren't going to tolerate any bullshit. We are going to cut to the truth. We're going to take some shots of truth, and we are going to get busy every Monday night after every game, including the Bears Monday Night Football, and we'll talk about that later, a little teaser, when they play on Monday night. So we are going to be with you, your voice of reason and truth. I'm excited to be doing this with you, Aldo. Despite the technical difficulties, you are like a great back on a third down and long situation that's going to step up and deliver the blow on the blitzing linebacker and allow me some extra time to deliver some strikes, Aldo, as you know I can.
I know you can. If you don't believe it, then look at the ad that we've got all over social media with Phil hitting a 55-yard pass right through a basketball hoop. Unbelievable piece of video. I'm surprised it doesn't have a million views already on YouTube. It's pretty sensational. Listen, if all goes well tonight, we're going to hear from Mike Brez on the show. You may know him on Twitter for his insightful, uncensored views on the Bears. I'm really looking forward to hearing him talk with Phil
in the
about
window.
Mike Glennon. In the window, that's our man. And then also we hope to have on Ross Reed. He is the co-host of the Mac and Reed Show and the host of the Coffin Corner podcast. So we're going to try to get them on, and hopefully our technical difficulties are behind us. Also, we're going to hear from Bears Barroom contributor Kieran. I am now pronouncing this correctly. I've been mispronouncing his name for weeks now, but I talked to him live today, Kieran Hall. And Kieran, he can't join us live because he's actually in Dublin, Ireland, so he should be sleeping right now. But he and I talked earlier over Skype, and I recorded a couple of his comments, so hopefully we'll listen to his thoughts on the Bears shortly. Now, before I turn it over to Phil, because Phil's going to share his thoughts about John Fox and do one of his famous rants on the head coach. But before I turn it over to him, Phil and I want to offer our prayers and best wishes to all of the people in Florida, Texas, Louisiana, and anywhere else that's been affected by these major hurricanes that have just clobbered us. And if you can please spare a donation to any of the relief efforts going on, that's just the right thing to do. And the easiest way to donate is to text Red Cross, one word, Red Cross, to 90999, and that will give $10 to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief. The charges will appear on your wireless bill or be deducted from any prepaid balance that you have. And, you know, again, it's 90999 and text the word, single word, Red Cross. And this is being advertised all over the place. So please do that. Now, the Bears were a loser at Soldier Field, as we all know. They lost Sunday to the NFC defending champ Atlanta Falcons 23-17. Phil, I want to play. I'm going to see if I can play this sound from John Fox talking about what impressed him most. And then I want to hear from you about your thoughts on Fox. Let's see if this will work.
Well, you know, I think really overall, you know, I think the kicking game, you know, it was a big kick early in the game that Connor Barth made. I thought, you know, we had a long snapper that's very, very new to us. You know, I thought our protection was good. You know, on offense, I think our two-minute drills, both at the end of the half and the end of the game, you know, couldn't quite finish the final one, but I think those were positives. You know, I think our defense, other than a couple busts, I think was, you know, pretty good against, you know, a team that's got a lot of weapons.
Phil, I'm going to open up a beer here, and I'm going to let you comment on John Fox, what he just said, and also about your feelings about the coach overall regarding his decision-making.
Well, you could see it in there. You're looking for positives as a head coach. So you get in front of the press. We're very critical, but this is year three. They have, what, 9 wins and 24 losses, I believe, as a staff. And John Fox, and let's look back at this game. Every play matters, folks. And when you look at football in the context of an hourglass, you don't see the big picture. But for me, I look at every play as a dynamic chance to either change the outcome or tide of a game with momentum. There's a play early in the game where the wide receiver's 2 yards short, maybe a yard and a half. Aldo put it up on Bears Barroom. If you haven't seen it, you can go there. This is an opportunity for you to challenge and set the tone to help your defense put you in a third down situation. You've played 4 meaningless preseason games, and you've handled your personnel as such throughout that preseason, Aldo. And you've handled
here you are in this game having an opportunity to
change the tides and assess your talent for what it is and put your team in a third down situation to possibly stop a high-powered, formidable opponent who went to the Super Bowl last year, and you're on the field toe-to-toe going blow-to-blow. You're in a battle and a fight, and you don't challenge a spot. That, to me, is your first coaching error that's continuously happens with this coaching staff. I counted 7 times throughout this regime's presence here that there was questionable spots of the ball, but yet no challenge. And we're not even including the 5 or 6 opportunities to challenge touchdown opportunities that they missed. So it is an issue with this coach in regards to that. And as far as personnel is concerned, you look at the quarterback situation, how he handled the situation with Trubisky and Glennon. After the Denver Broncos preseason, the first preseason game, it is very clear to the eye, as we talked about on Bears Barroom throughout the offseason, that Mitchell Trubisky is an accurate passer. There's one thing you can't teach, that's speed, processing in your mind. The ability to throw a ball accurately is one of the innate, if not the number one intangible trait that a quarterback needs to have in order to be successful in the NFL. When you look at Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and obviously Tom Brady, the greatest of all times, they're all different athletes, but they all throw the ball on time and accurately. They process information tremendously at that position. And when you see Mitchell Trubisky in that first preseason game, the two-minute drill, pressure on, you have no idea how much pressure was on that young man in that situation, unless you ever played the position. And then on top of it, your first pro game, second overall pick. Why did he pick this kid? He's a bust. He's nothing. All that's got to be rambling in this kid's head, and he goes out there and delivers. And then he delivers. And then he comes back the next opportunity, delivers again. It's very clear to me that you're holding this kid back from an opportunity to help your football team win. Because what helps a wide receiver core lacking in talent? A mobile quarterback does. You saw it with Jay Cutler. You see it all the time in the NFL. Continuing on with the play, making short processing. That play sheet chart that they ran yesterday with Mike Lennon at the helm, my eighth grade quarterback that I'm coaching right now, could handle that game plan. And that kind of political, dramatic thing is where I see this coaching staff having issues with a fan base. You're lying to a team and you're lying to a fan base. And that's John Fox in a nutshell. It's like you're doing the right thing and putting your defense in a great position to win football games by having a great defense. But how about help them out by having your offense? Mike Glennon does not give you the best opportunity to win. I don't care what anyone tries to say or tell. The tape doesn't lie. It's very clear to me you're looking at two different animals. And I think that had Mitchell Trubisky, Aldo, been on the football field on Sunday, I think the result would have been different, because the game plan and the talent that you have at running back, the creases would have opened up with an athlete that could boot out of there, that could run that spread game and mesh point and pull and threaten those safeties and get people out of the box. Mitchell Trubisky could throw the deep ball. Mike Glennon seems to be 2 seconds or a second and a half late.
Phil, when I spoke with Kieran today, he made a really interesting analysis. And again, Kieran is a Bears Barroom contributor. You can read his weekly work at bearsbarroom.com. This is what Kieran did when he made an interesting comparison. Listen to this and then comment on it.
Just reminded me so much of the Titans game last year, where Barkley had a terrible first three quarters, came back in the fourth quarter, basically won the game, but two drops completely ruined it. And it was kind of the same thing again. But that's what you're going to get from a quarterback like Glennon or Barkley. They may be able to help you be in the game, but they're not going to be the reason why you win it. And that's the difference. And I think that's where the fans will start seeing differences once the coaching staff feel Trubisky is ready.
I mean, should we buy that guy a bottle of booze for that excellent analysis?
It's deja vu all over. It's like he was sitting in my office today at work listening to me talk to one of my colleagues who is a fantasy football fanatic, Chris Jackal. Shout out to him.
Hey, Chris.
Big Bears fan at work, listens in all the time. We were talking about how much of a similarity to the Titans game, even down to the Josh Bellamy, Deontay Thompson drops. Here we are again. And the sad part about it is Kieran is right. You know, until the coaching staff feels he's ready. That's the thing. Other coaching staffs that really pride themselves on offensive talent and trying to win would assess that the rookie needs to be in the game and be used in an appropriate way. There should have been an open competition here, because Kieran's right. You see Mike Glennon, if the play fails, if there's a protection issue, he's going down. Or there's going to be a fumble. There's definitely going to be a sack. So there's no hope unless everything goes right. And in today's NFL, and with a defense like the Chicago Bears, and as well as an offense lacking playmakers outside, You're going to have to be more creative than what they were on Sunday, because you're going to have to use some of these big tight ends. You saw Deion Sims, and we talked about him off air, really showcase the kind of athlete he is, and people really slept on him. As I told you, this is a bigger athlete. You get him out in space, he can body and muscle people and use control, and he's a harder worker than a Martellus Bennett. Gifted athlete, but this guy's a gifted athlete and works hard. So I'm excited about that football player, and I hopefully, with the injuries now to Glass Joe and everyone else, you're going to have to continue to move forward with Mike Glennon, stabilized statue in the pocket. Mind you, this isn't Drew Bledsoe here that has anticipation and a talented arm. This arm that everyone keeps talking about, Mike Glennon, has a big arm. He's got a big arm. Charles Davis talking about it on Sunday. I've yet to see it. A big arm to me is throwing the football out there and getting it on time down the football field. There's so many plays, and I put the two-minute drill up that Coach Fox talked about, Aldo, how he was happy with, but again, the end result was what it was. Well, you know, you buy a coffee with a hole in the cup, it's going to leak out too. You can't be proud of that. You got to make sure, you know, you get a coffee with no hole in it so you can actually enjoy it. And Bears fans would have enjoyed a touchdown there at the end. Now, there was a drop by Bellamy, but again, everything had to be perfect. And guys were bailing Mike Glennon out on that drive from the sack that could have been a fumble for Cohen diving on it. Cohen one-handed. Josh Bellamy, who, by the way, dropped the touchdown, Aldo, had a great catch on the drive that was on the opposite, going the opposite sideline. The same exact catch he makes there. So to people saying that he should have, that was a hard catch, that's what a high school kid does in his sleep that loves the game. He's got to make that play. And that was Glennon's, you know, it was a good throw, an anticipation throw. There was two really good throws that Mike Glennon had. One on fourth down to Bellamy and the touchdown that should have been to Bellamy. All the rest, I really have a hard time recognizing these throws are off base. Even the Jordan Howard, it's to the wrong side and it's a second and a half late. You're going to blame Jordan Howard for taking his eyes off the ball and looking at a safety or a corner coming flying at him? It's naturally happened. Yes, he should have caught it. But being honest, it's a three-step drop, Aldo. That is the hot read. He's got to dump it out there immediately, knowing that defense and what it's set up to be. He's the hot. One, two, three, dump, get 235 pounds, moving forward, and he scores. And you win the game. So when these writers and these beat guys, well, Mike Glennon, he didn't lose the game. Well, a second and a half difference indecision. I say football's a game of inches and seconds, and he was off. And unfortunately, if you're going to be critical of Jay Cutler almost picks, we're going to be breaking down the truth of Mike Glennon, and I think Kieran is 100% right. It had that vibe, and what are we waiting for to open up this offense? There's nine in the box at points waiting for you. You're still running at it, and they're still getting yards. That's how talented these backs are. So imagine if you have an athlete that's going to threaten that backside backer and make him stay home. Now you've created a crease for a cutback. Now you're seeing big chunks, and your defense is not going to be on the football field as much as you saw Akeem Hicks, by the way, who got paid, and deservedly so. And instead of lying on his laurels there, he actually goes out there and balls out, and a shout-out to him. Akeem the Dream, what a great job. I mean, he showed up to play, Aldo.
He sure did. And let me tell you, I am envious of the fact that you've pronounced Kieran's name correctly twice, and I've mispronounced it a couple hundred times. I want to know if Mike Brez is on the line. I dialed him up a little while ago. Has he been listening? Mike is not there. Okay. So here's what I'm going
to do. He's in the window. He's in the window.
I'm going to try to hook him up. And what I'm going to do in the meantime is play this bit of sound of Mike Glennon talking about, he was asked about the 13 passing yards he had at halftime. I think it was 13. Here's how he responded.
Well, I think the, you know, the strength of our offense is running the ball, and we were doing that really well. Now, you know, just how the game was going, I mean, we were in it. You know, we weren't throwing it, but we were. It was a one-score game the whole time, so I didn't feel there was a huge need to change it up because we were, you know, we had them right where we wanted. That's a, you know, the defending, you know, NFC champ. So we just had to stick to our game plan, and we knew it was going to be kind of a high completion game against that style of defense. Just continue to stack completions and eventually, you know, try to hit the big one, which we almost hit on the one Tariq, and then later in that drive, you know, he got a touchdown anyway. So the style that they play is kind of a bend, don't break, and, you know, we knew going into it that I would have to be patient and just take what they gave.
Phil, you need to comment on that. I'll say this first. That guy doesn't inspire a lot of confidence when I hear him talk. I'm sorry. I hate to pick on the dude, but, you know, geez, he can't always talk like that, like in the huddle, can he?
He might. I mean, he seems to be like that kid that was an athlete, but he's also with the pot smokers, and he's kind of like the dude, you know? Whoa, hey. But I look at this, I mean, there is a visual sense when you look at a football game and you see a football player, a quarterback under center, that they have that it factor. I remember Shane Marsaw, colleague, smartest man in the bar room, talking about that vibe that Trubisky brought to the table when he stepped foot in the on the football field. That is waiting for Bears fans, and they feel it. They see it. So
Phil, hold on. Phil, hold on a second. I've got Mike Perez on the line. Mike, you've been listening in?
Yeah, I've been listening.
Mike, I'm going to give you the floor here. Why don't you talk a little bit about your thoughts on Mike Glennon? I think what I need to do is hang up on Phil, recall him back so I can get a better connection. But why don't you give us your thoughts on Mike Glennon? Because I got the feeling you're not quite agreeing with everything that Phil's been sharing.
Well, no. I mean, here, first off, the whole if Trubisky was in there. I mean, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it'd be a Merry Christmas, but he's not. So we got Glennon, and there's reasons for Glennon's start, so he's in there. So the game was called small ball, and that's what we were playing today. Why? We got a bunch of good running backs, got some slot receivers in there, which we should have got going a little bit earlier, and tight ends. So you don't have no deep threat. You're a little bit afraid of bringing the ball down the field, and that would have been the same if it was Trubisky or Glennon in there, either which way. There's no way that Dowell and a brand new offense and all these brand new players is going to say, yeah, let's just sling it down the field and see what happens. One, Trubisky gets pick six. Maybe that shattered his little ego, and then we go downhill from there on a rookie QB. It's just something you wouldn't put him in. So now we're sitting here with Glennon at the mic, and he's executing Dowell's game plan. How is he doing? I don't know. He completed 65% of the throws. Plus, you've seen how many drops happened. So he did pretty good there. Now, they got the running backs. Howard, you know, he was getting a little too cute. Howard just needs the rock on first down and start running that thing. Got lucky with some Tariq Cohen, but he's also a dynamic player. So, I don't know. You get to a spot where you're at 10-10, going into a half of football against the team that was up 28-3 in the Super Bowl, the last football game that meant anything, played right there. So I'm thinking, you're doing pretty good. Actually, the game plan is pretty good, and Glennon's doing what he needs to do. So you get down to the end of the game. You're at 1st and 5 and able to win this game. I will say Glennon put us in a position to win. Dowell put us in a position to win, and we nearly just did not execute well enough.
Phil, are you on board here?
There are no moral victories in the NFL. There's none. You either get out there and you recognize that 13 yards in the first half is the equivalent of Jonathan Quinn. Jonathan Quinn couldn't move the ball across midfield. And if it wasn't for Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, this quarterback and this offense would be nothing. Okay? It wasn't until Dowell opened up the reins and started throwing against a more of a prevent defense, bracket zones, allowing everything underneath, that they started to hit their stride. But I'm telling you, next week, Tampa, who knows Mike Glennon very well, are going to be lined up man-to-man in the box, challenging that to throw. And this guy's going to have to make plays. And by making plays, I mean hit guys on time and accurately, which he wasn't able to do. Now, there was some drops in there. I'm going to be 100% honest, but if you're looking at tape and being consistent with what your expectation is of an NFL quarterback, it's got to be better, and it wasn't good enough. And at the end result, wasn't good enough either.
Did you hear what Phil just said, and do you want to rebut?
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, a lot of this, we're going to talk about Glennon. Glennon is in there. It's not about Jonathan Quinn. Jonathan Quinn was asked to move the ball down the field and failed to do so. Glennon was not asked to move the ball down the field like that. They were playing small ball. He was calling, Dowell's calling on hot routes out to the running backs. He's got the tight ends doing crossing route, rub routes just to try to get them opened up. I mean, this is, he was doing what was asked of. So he got there. This is not Glennon played all, you know, almost to win or not to lose. That was the game plan, and it was executed actually pretty good. Now, for a lot of people out there in the Twitter sphere or a lot of people commenting, it always comes back to Trubisky. Trubisky wasn't in this game. He's on the sidelines. So we focus on Glennon. But, you know, just because the 21-year-old girl down the street you think is hot, it doesn't make your girlfriend a bitch. You know, I mean, he went out and did well. He got down the field. He did what was supposed to. He got him in a winning position. He kept him in the game, gave up no interceptions, and then put the ball on people's hands, and they failed to make it. If one of those guys catches it, he is a hero, and he's out on the shoulders, and everybody's high-fiving, and everybody says, man, we could probably sit Trubisky on the bench for a year, really get him pumped up for the future. But over one Bellamy drop, over one Jordan Howard, he would, I don't care about a half a second, you get hit in the numbers, you catch it and turn. You know, he put it in great spots. He made a lot of good throws. Not every throw a quarterback throws is always going to be great, and that's everybody from Brady on there. But it's amazing. If Mike Glennon throws a ball a half a quarter of a second, a millisecond late, what a piece of garbage. But if Tom Brady does it, you say, oh, man, that receiver should have got out of his brakes faster. You know, it's ridiculous, the hate on Glennon right now, when he actually put a pretty decent game together. And when he was called upon, Aldo, called upon to react and start getting the score back even or to take the lead in the fourth quarter, he goes for 176 yards in the fourth quarter. Prevent or not, those guys are still sitting on routes ready to jump them, and set a Bears all-time record for fourth quarter yardage by a quarterback. That means he's got the ability to do it. And even if there's tighter coverage, let him, let the reins go. See what happens. Let, you know, I'm watching Kendall Wright juking people, just juking them. They're falling out of their shoes. Get, you know, he got the first catch in the late third quarter. I mean, just target him earlier. So don't, let's not put the sluggishness or this almost winning, not losing types theory on Glennon. If we want to really go at it, put it on Dowell. He could have been opening it up and getting this thing downfield, and it showed that Glennon does have the ability to hit wide receivers in the hands and in the numbers and can win games, and that's all we have asked for him, and he might be able to turn that up. And that makes a bright future having Glennon and Trubisky, because you know somebody's going to get hurt.
Mike, who's got the advantage next week? Mike Glennon, who knows the Tampa Bay defense, or the Tampa Bay defense that knows Mike Glennon?
Okay, everybody and always wants to make a joke over knowing a team's defense or a playbook, or but there's something to that stuff, especially if you've been on the team for years and you're in that mix. I believe it's, you do have an edge there. The other is, and this is made more fun of than anything else, the revenge game. But go back and look at history of times on revenge games on players. Man, they do take it personal. They do go out there and overperform. They are ready for it. They've had it circled since the schedule came out. Glennon is the guy to go in there and start. And I think that Tampa Bay might get a little more aggressive on him because they know Glennon. Like Phil said, they know Glennon. They're going to be on his ass. Good, go for it. Over blitz. And that'll open up people. And then that will get the ball out a little bit quicker and open up some of our receivers that are covered like white on rice right now. So I think he definitely has it. I think you – Glennon had that game won. Bellamy and Jordan Howard lost it for him. That's just – I mean, he has right there. You put it in your hands, you win. Boom. He won that game. So he did his part. I think you give him another opportunity to win this game. You see how he goes down against his old team. He goes down with two TDs and three interceptions down in flames. Congratulations. You just maybe have Trubisky in your pocket now. He goes and he throws three touchdowns, one pick, wins the game. Good. We won a game. We beat a very good team. You're on a no-lose situation with Mike Glennon starting in Tampa Bay.
Mike, thanks very much for your thoughts. Tell our audience where they can follow you on Twitter, because you've always got some interesting Bears thoughts, and you're not shy about engaging in debates on politics, too, if anyone wants to engage you in that topic.
Well, football season's here, so way less politics.
I hear you.
It may be good. But at Mike Brez 5, BREZ5. Let me know if you're blocked. Shout out to one of your friends. I'll even unblock you. It's football season coming back again, right? So we'll do it.
Sounds,
thanks, Aldo. We'll see. We'll
good.
Listen to the rest of the way.
Thank you, brother. Take care. Kieran had a thought regarding wide receivers and who can fill in this Kevin White slot. Let's hear from our man in Dublin.
What do you guys think that we should do for the wide receiver position? I think the only thing that they can really do now is promote Tanner Gentry and use Trey McBride. Now, he didn't play that game because obviously he was learning the offense, but hopefully another week will help that, so at least there's somebody else that they can use.
Let me play what John Fox said about the wide receivers.
You know, Trey McBride's a guy that was on our roster. We signed at the 53-man. You know, he spent last week getting kind of oriented in our offense. You know, he's a possibility. Marcus Wheaton is improving. He did actually practice last week, albeit a fairly major club on his hand. We'll have some options. Looking around the league as well. So you know, those are always options.
All right. So, what do you think the Bears can do with this wide receiver situation, given that Kevin White is done for the season?
Well, you know, you look at the roster, you know I'm a big fan of Trey McBride. I had a very high grade on the kid. He's a speedster with dynamic athleticism and great hands. He's just coming from a smaller school or whatever arrogance or chip on his shoulder he had, he needed to be humbled. And I think this new lease on football life here will be excellent for him. Getting him acclimated into the offense is going to have to be happening day in and day night. It's really not that complex. They're running shallow crosses across the field almost on every route. So I don't know. I think Kieran is 100% right. You got to bring up Tanner Gentry. I don't know what they're waiting for, unless they're thinking of trading somebody. You also have a fullback on the roster that isn't necessary for the three plays he plays and specials. We talked about special teams. You have Sherrick McManus and a Josh Bellamy. You can't keep both. In my mind, if I'm the head coach, I'm looking at one of the two. I'm looking at the special teams coach. I could be a kicker, a punter, a snapper. You know, you're going to get one special teams guy, and then we're going to fill in with tight ends and safeties and backup safeties and corners, and we're going to get it done. Meanwhile, the Bears are carrying a fullback, four tight ends, and they've neglected the wide receiver position. And really, they've gotten themselves in this mess with the GM at fault, because he counted on the man of glass to be a number one wide receiver, and he isn't. I have compassion for the kid. But seriously, this is a business all the time. We hear it over and over. the wide receiver has to catch the football and run routes and be able to do it. You saw glimpses of that. Deontay Thompson, as we talked about, worked hard on his hands. He had a drop, but he caught some other plays in the game. You want to? I would keep him because he's given you opportunities to catch. And I think, you know, Bellamy or McManus. What does McManus do for you at this point, Aldo? What does he do? I can get Tanner Gentry to run routes, make plays, make catches, and run down on punts too. It's really disheartening that they're keeping guys active and on the 53-man roster that aren't going to help this offense, and which is going to help this defense in a team game. So I don't know what they're going to do. They might have to trade to get a solid, you know, wide receiver, a veteran in here, a talent. I don't know what you're going to trade, a third-round pick. They missed the opportunities here to get some more speed. If a kid like Wheaton is still out there with an injury on his thumb and is wearing a giant ball on his hand, how's he gonna catch?
Yeah, we know that he was catching Nerf balls last week, and I wonder if he was catching those Nerf balls with that big club. It definitely sounds like he's a couple of weeks away. To be honest with you, that's not a good situation. And you know, I wanted to have Ross Reed on, but the technical difficulties, I figured we better get those fixed before we take any more calls.
Yeah.
But Ross had tweeted out that I put football on the back burner here. Kevin White is a good dude, and I wish him the best. It's tough to keep going down this road. He was responding to Kevin White's tweet that said, I ask why me, but I know God has a plan much bigger than what I want. I'm thankful for everyone that's supporting me. And we're all supporting you. We're all wishing you the very best. But as Phil said, this is a business. And unfortunately, three straight years of injuries for Kevin White, it's not an aspersion on your character or how hard you work. In fact, people tell us that the very first injury you suffered was because you were overtraining for the combine. And that's just, you know, testament to your character, how badly you want it, and you've just been snake bitten. So, you know, whether this is the end of your career with the Chicago Bears, it doesn't, you know, mean that we didn't appreciate the effort. It's just an unfortunate thing that's happened to Kevin White. So hopefully this wide receiver situation is going to work itself out. We've got an extra fourth round draft pick. I think that's what Pace has to dangle around. And as you and Kyron have said, that Tanner Gentry is somebody that we definitely have to look at bringing up. And also, as you were saying earlier in the show, Phil, we've got to take some chances downfield. I mean, you know, what the hell is going on? Dan Durkin had a really great tweet today. You know, he's saying that there were more passes to the sideline than there were to the end zone, to the goal line. You know, this horizontal offense.
Let's not skip over my game day tweet. Because you know what? I'm going to give myself and Bears Barroom a credit here. If you're not following Bears Barroom Twitter handle or me, because I try to tag the home base in all my tweets, I'm coaching and analyzing this as it happens. This isn't going back, watching the tape, and then I'm going to tell you. I tell you, East-West Shrine Game offense was what I was joking about, that Dowell Loggins was doing, throwing to the sideline, throwing predetermined. You're throwing that bubble screen to the running back, and everybody knows it. You're going to have to do something off of that. And guess what? Like you said, Aldo, that's the perfect opportunity to throw downfield. You need a quarterback that's going to be able to do that and challenge that safety. And what I mean by that, you're going to roll, you're going to bubble Tariq out to the right, and you're going to send offensive linemen out there. And that wide receiver that's out there is going to pretend to block. And then he's going to hit it up into the seam and get behind that safety. And Mike Glennon's going to be an actor because that's what you're going to coach. Listen, you got three steps here. You got a pump, and you're going to the safety. So you need to make sure that safety gets off that hash and tries to come up on that screen because they're going to be so aware of Tariq Cohen. They're not going to let him beat you. So you're going to have plays that counter what plays you've shown. And that hasn't happened in the past. So hopefully I can give you the virtual chalkboard over the airways and you see what I'm talking about. But it's going to have to threaten downfield against Tampa with Mike Glennon. The statuesque quarterback is going to have to make a play. And it's not unheard of. I mean, there's a guy on television now, Philip Rivers, who's statuesque, can't really move that well, and has made a living. But yep. Guess what? What does he have, Aldo? He's got an arm, he's got toughness, and he's got accuracy up the wazoo, and that's why he's played so long. And the accuracy is the key, and that's why I think this Bears team really would be best led if they did say, we have our Marcus Mariota, we have our Jameis Winston, we have our Carson Wentz now. Why are we playing around with Jonathan Quinn, Todd Collins, what was his name? Scott Mitchell. I'm trying to think of these tall quarterbacks that lack athleticism and don't have that trait that stands out. If you were to tell me one trait that Mike Glennon has that stands out to you, what would it be, Aldo?
His long neck.
Yeah, he's tall and he's lean. And you know what? He's an easy target in the pocket. People don't want to hear it, but the more and more I assess this situation, the more and more concerned I am with Ryan Pace. Well, I got to be honest with them.
Let me ask you this. Actually, it's Cloudy Futures' question. Should we bring back Daniel Braverman? I know you've got a special place in your heart for Mr. Braverman. Do you think that he should be considered as a callback?
Someone that runs the slot and is going to be able to catch the freaking football, then yes. The tape doesn't lie with Daniel Braverman. There's a lot of bias. And if you believe in this coaching staff to appropriately assess personnel, i.e. Cameron Meredith, Jordan Howard, you know, they got it right with Terry Cohen. You saw how they used him in every facet of the game. But let's be honest. I'm not pulling for Daniel Braverman only because I love the kid. I love a lot of people, and on this football team alone, I'm going to tell you personally, it's not a bad idea to get someone in here that's going to run crisp routes and catch the football. And before you say, well, he hasn't done it. Well, he has done it. He's done it in college, and that's how you assess it. And he's done it in the practices and on the football. I don't get the reason why they cut Victor Cruz. Could he have helped you on Sunday? He could drop a football in the end zone too, Aldo. You know, or he could catch the football. He'd find new life. You never know when the lights come on who's going to step up. But I don't think it's out of the question when people argue with me, well, he doesn't have a job. Well, Wes Welker was cut. Danny Amendola was cut. There's a whole mess of young, small, talented slot white receivers that have been cut and going on to be successful in other people's offenses. So it's not out of the question, but will they do it? I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. They still have Josh Bellamy running routes and being a big part of their plan now. So to me, you're going to hear this all off season, and I'm cheering for Bellamy. I wish he made that play because we would have won, but I can't overlook the fact that he had the perfect opportunity, eyes on the football, two hands out there laying out for it. It's every kid dreams in the backyard, game on the line, dive in, make that catch. He drops it. We've seen it before, just like Kieran said. So you have to be a head coach first and assess, is that okay that that's happened several times and you still run and trot him out there when there are other players out there that could possibly help you, a Trey McBride and a Tanner Gentry that's on your practice squad right now that has busted his ass in the preseason? They need to do something at the wide receiver position to make competition, to say that's not okay that you drop a football, that you're going to sit your ass on the bench if you drop a football, and we are going to find the right players, and we're going to bring people in here for tryouts, just like you did with the kicker, and you're going to get this football team to believe that they can win, because if you don't win the close games, you're never going to win. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, shit, you lost. And now you're 0-1. And if winning isn't important to you and you have moral victory, well, they were the Super Bowl. You know, they blew the Super Bowl. Okay? 28-3 against the Patriots, and they lost.
That's right.
They come into your house, and you have them on the ropes, and you can't win. So now what message are you sending this football team this week? That's what we're going to break down this week.
Listen, we got just a few minutes left, and I know there's two or three more topics that we just have to talk about. One of the things is something that you mentioned to me earlier, Cody Whitehair. Tell me what your thoughts are about Cody and the fact that he was thrust into that center position without much preseason action there.
This is another error with John Fox and the offensive coaching staff. Here you take your best offensive lineman. That's right. Your best offensive lineman. Better than Sitton, better than Long, better than all of them. He showed me on, as I've said on Bears Barroom, this is an all-pro dynamic center, young player, ascending talent, and you move him to guard to appease your draft positioning or whatever theory that you came up with. Well, you don't take Walter Payton and move him to freaking fullback. You leave him where he's best, and that's what you do. Just like you argued with me about Kyle Long and guard and whatever, we all can go back on that. But this center position is the cornerstone. It is the most important position to the zone-based scheme because he creates the bubble and makes the creases. If your center is getting pushed back 2 yards into the backfield like you saw throughout the preseason, and I was adamant on Twitter, on the show, that Aronis Grassu was just out there and going to be awful combination with him and Glennon. Sure enough, they get it right, but they do exactly what they did. They unfairly use this kid all throughout preseason at guard, then put him back at center. Then you see errors in the game. He had a holding call. I know they're going to send to the league. He had a couple false starts, a bad snap, because he didn't get live action at center. But yet, he's starting there on opening day. If you can't see that that's ridiculous on any and every level, then I don't know what to tell you. But as an offensive line coach, you're talking about continuity and cohesiveness. You didn't get that because Whitehair was playing guard, not making the calls, not being consistent with his quarterback. It was a shit show, and it's a terrible coaching situation, again, by the coaching staff. No one's talking about it, but we are here at Bears Hour Live, Aldo, and I'm fired up about it.
Hey, I got another question. You know, the Bears keep claiming that they're a running team, and I think it was at halftime that they had a total of 4 carries. I might be wrong about that, but they really didn't. If it's not 4, it wasn't much more than that. How upset are you with the play calling? I know that Mike wasn't complaining about the play calling. He thought it was good, but let me know your thoughts about Dow Loggins and the play calling. You know, again, and this happened way back in the Lovie Smith area, where he would talk about we're going to get out of the bus running the ball. And then at the end of the game, you'll see the stats, and they were throwing the ball much more than they were running it. What are your concerns about Dow Loggins and splitting carries between Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen and making sure that we run the ball enough in order to properly set up play action and you take it from there?
Yeah, Aldo, you're taking my steam and my thunder, because when you look at that defense, they stack the box. So now you got to have to be able to check. And what they did was the East-West game that we talked about. They started to throw bubble screens, wide receiver screen, try to get them out of the box by doing that. Instead, you got a Pro Bowl caliber running back, and you're mixing in this Tariq Cohen, and you really don't get the best of Jordan Howard until you start continually feeding him the football. So you got to do one of two things, just like you said. You got to run action game off of it. Well, he is a statue, and when you see him booed, you got to run action game. You saw him get booed, and he gets sacked. He booted again, and he got sacked, or he got hurried, so he threw it into the dirt. So he's hindering what you could do with your running game by not being able to action game off of it and do that naked backdoor, because it's just no one's threatened by him booting. So the running game and get off the bus running and all that, all was thrown out the window. I thought they went away from it, and I think you're 100% right. And you saw they didn't run well. You had Tariq Cohen give you that toss play that was shut down that he ended up taking and turning into something bigger. And had Mike Glennon given a fraction of a shoulder, he probably would have scored on that, to be perfectly honest. But that's neither here or there. You saw gimmicky runs. You saw the ability to try to get him out of the box in gimmicky east-west ways. And it's not going to work, unfortunately. And you really are hindering your best asset, and that's your offensive line and your interior zone-based scheme. And you're going to have to really focus in on doing something about it this week, because you really are then hurting yourself by just being in the shotgun and having a guy that's inaccurate throw the football around what was net 13 yards at the half. I don't know how anyone could be praising two drives and say that's okay. So for me, a lot of self-scout is going to have to go on, and a real different attitude is going to need to be, you know, transpiring on the football field for this coaching staff. They're really going to have to get them ready to run the football and really take shots downfield this week. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to just run those nine routes and use your tight ends as athletes in there. Have this guy look down the field and throw the football, because the dinking and dunking isn't going to help you moving forward.
All right, really quickly here, are you concerned about the Jarrell Freeman injury? Freeman, who led the team in tackles last season, he led the team in tackles in yesterday's game, suffered a concussion. He admitted after the game that he was suffering concussion-like symptoms, so he's in that concussion protocol. And then also he's got a pectoral injury, which is probably even more concerning, because if he's torn that thing, and we should know tomorrow what the status of that is, he could be out for several weeks. If Jarrell Freeman isn't a go for the next several games, are we concerned? How concerned are we about that?
Well, very, because I feel like he's top two inside backers in the whole NFL. I believe he's that talented. He's a physical force. He doesn't just talk a big game. He actually does it. I think he does a lot of the dirty work. He makes some very great splash plays. He missed a few tackles, yes, to be expected in your first game, but that defense was swarming, and he really brings a leadership role, and that's what you're going to be missing there. Trevathan came in. I was surprised that he played. He actually played very well, too, and coming in and filling, and then you got the young buck, probably one of my favorite young football players on this team, Nick Quick. Every hit sponsored by Bears Barroom, that's going to be our slogan this year, because Nick Quick can hit. I mean, he's explosive. So as far as talent,
well, and excuse me for interrupting, another guy that you've been speaking highly of during the preseason, Christian Jones, that inside linebacker, he could, you know, be called center stage and could really deliver big time this year.
Yeah, Christian Jones could come in there. He can also give you reps. I was surprised he didn't get any reps on the outside. Those guys were grasping for air. That defense was put in a lot of situations that were really hard on them. As Akeem Hicks, I was like, you got to get him out. You got to get him out. You're going to hurt this guy. And really, you could see that he was gassed and wasn't even hustling on a few plays, which you don't want to see that, because he's not that type of football player. And really, I think you're going to be okay there as far as talent is concerned. This guy, though, Jarrell Freeman, does all the dirty work, Aldo. You got to be on our knees praying that the pec and the concussion aren't going to keep him out this week, because he's a loss on the football field. But I think that Nick Kwiatkowski and Danny Trevathan can handle it, as well as Christian Jones can come in there, give you quality reps, because when you go down to Tampa, it's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. Linebacker play, defensive line play, they can get gas. So you want to get off the football field and get them in third and longs and get after them this week. That's the way you're going to win, and that requires your offense to move the football and score points and not put that defense on a football field like that. You saw with the New York Giants, with the Cowboys, Giants defense, very talented, just like the Bears, got gassed. You can't be on the football field that long if your offense can't move the football like you saw in the first half. And really, you saw basically the whole game except for the two-minute drills that this offense was able to move the football. So a lot of self-scouting is going to be needed with Dow Loggins, and Vic Fangio is going to have to really go after Jameis Winston, because when he's pressured, he throws some stupid and makes stupid decisions, and that's what you're going to have to be looking at this week. Blitzing Nick Kwiatkowski is going to be a critical point in emphasis this week for me. The guy is a monster on those running backs. They don't want to deal with him coming full speed at them and getting after your opponent's quarterback.
Phil, I was fairly impressed with the defensive backfield for the Bears in this first game against this high-powered offense. I mean, there were some mistakes. The most obvious one, of course, being the Quinton Demps mistake when he screwed up his assignment. Coach John Fox said that there was some communication issues, but they got them kind of ironed out before the ball was snapped, and it was just Demps who, to his credit, took full responsibility for that screw up. But aside from that, I thought that there weren't any other major mistakes. And for the most part, guys like Kyle Fuller, Marcus Cooper, Eddie Jackson, they all had a pretty damn good game. Bryce Callahan, I thought, played well as well. What are your thoughts?
The one thing I'm going to be concerned with is the tackling. That was the concern. They were in coverage. They did a great job. Just like you ran through the gambit, all those players really did well in coverage. It was two critical third down situations when Matt Ryan's about to fall. We saw this. We've seen this play now, I think, four or five times as Bear fans. And you want me to go through the Aaron Rodgers fourth down to win the NFC North and Peppers misses, yada, yada, yada. Then you had the last year, or was it the year before, Jameis Winston scrambling in the end zone, spinning around, everyone misses him, he throws it all the way down the field to the receiver, and they make a big play there, Davis. This can't happen. Your secondary communication breakdowns can't happen. And I really, honestly, looking at the tape, and the coach's tape hasn't come out, but looking at it from the angle, because they gave you a replay of it, I really believe it was Jarrell Freeman's man, to be perfectly honest, as I was praising it before. He didn't carry him all the way through the seam. He's got to stay with him. And then Demps would have to come off, because Demps saw the quarterback sprint to his left, and thinking that he's going to be forcing a throw to Julio, he comes across over the top, when really Jarrell Freeman should carry that guy through the seam all the way down the football field, and then that play's dead. So before you say, well, he can't do it, yeah, he can. He runs right through it, and the quarterback who's going to fall is going to end up running or get sacked. So if a guy's wide open, it's a hell of a lot easier to throw a circus pass to a wide-open guy than it was. And if you look at the play, and we'll put it up at Bears Barroom, but that play, and there was another third down to the same guy, Aldo. It was a big third down situation. They got him third, and I think it was like 15 or 12, and they threw a shallow cross to the tight end again, about 7 yards, and Eddie Jackson missed him, Kyle Fuller missed him, and then he finally gets pushed out after he gains about 17 yards on a third and 15 or whatever it was. Maybe he got 22 yards on third and 15. That play right there, another missed tackle. You're scrambling to the football, tackle the guy. So little things, yes, they played well. I was impressed with Kyle Fuller. I think he came ready to play. He was physical. He's everything you want to see in your corner. I liked what I saw from him. Eddie Jackson was kind of a rookie out there. Mm-hmm. He wasn't great, wasn't bad, didn't make any big mistakes, but he missed a couple tackles that you want to see. So you hope you clean that up, you coach it up. You don't want to see yourself on film come Monday. Obviously today they all went in there and saw their mistakes, hopefully, and were embarrassed by them, because peer pressure really gets the most out of men. And hopefully that's what this coaching staff does, unless they continue to skip over draw. We're not going to watch that drop, because I don't want the players to make fun of Josh, or I don't want that. You know, if that's the stat, we got the wrong coach, because this is getting ridiculous. You want to win these close games, you need players that are angry. You need 6-7 Akeem Hicks players out there. So I'm excited about coming up this week. I think these young players and this young secondary, I think this is a winnable game. I'm not a big believer in Jameis Winston. Just like I said, I feel like when he's hurried, he makes dumb, stupid decisions, and that you can get after them. This Bears defensive front really gets after the run. So I think they're going to force this football player to throw, and hopefully this secondary. I think Will Demps is going to be on a highlight reel for the rest of his life, getting stiff-armed and thrown to the ground like a stepchild, redheaded stepchild out there. So he's going to have to come back and really make a presence felt, so that'll be long forgotten. So I think secondary is in better place than it was last year, that's for sure. And you didn't have your best guy out there, maybe, in Amukamara.
That's right, and hopefully he will be back this week. Phil, we are a little past the hour mark. Not a problem. We will pay the overtime fees, because it's been fascinating listening to your opinion on football, on the Bears, and we got much more coming up this week. As you mentioned earlier, we've got Bears 100 Proof. That's going to be on Wednesday. That's not a live show. That's our unique football analysis show, where we have tons of humor, or attempts at humor anyway. But Shane Marsall, the smartest man in the barroom, he will join Phil and myself. And with Shane around, you know there's going to be a lot of good laughs. And then on Friday, we've got Bears on Tap. That's where we dissect the upcoming opponent. This week I've got John Buffone, the nephew of the legendary Bears linebacker Doug Buffone, with us. And I hope to have on Tampa Bay Bucks blogger Gil Arcia. I haven't been in touch with Gil. I hope that everything is fine with him and his family down in Tampa Bay. And if that's the case, he will join us to talk about the Tampa Bay Bucks. Phil, any last quick thought that you want to give our audience?
I just appreciate the Twitter feedback, the Facebook feedback. We appreciate our audience 100%. We're going to fix this up. We're going to get a lot more of you involved. That's our goal. That's what this whole show is about. It's you. It's the truth. And it's 100% real on this show. So as we move forward, we promise we're going to get this phone lines fixed up. First show out the gate, so we're gonna get it ready to rock and roll this season, and hopefully, you know, come Mitchell Trubisky time, it's very soon, Aldo.
Very good. All right, and I also want to thank Mike Brez for joining us, Kieran Hall for sharing his thoughts with us over Skype this morning, which we replayed, and my apologies to Ross Reed for the technical difficulties and not being able to have him on. Phil, you know the sign off, right? You want to join me in saying it? If you drink,
sure,
don't drive, and always
bear down.
Well done, brother.
That was fun.